The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
Well, here we are. You are living in grand times. We are officially, this is officially now the most expensive stock market in history, based on what we refer to, and if you heard the show before, you've heard me talk about it, based on the Warren Buffett valuation metric. And everything is good. Prices are high. What could go wrong? We're not going to get negative. We've been talking about valuations on this show since we started. Probably to the point where most of you, if you've heard the show before, and there's probably a few of you that listen to the show every week, at least I hope so. As we've said before, I know we don't have the draw of Rush or Medved, or unfortunately, I know you don't set your weekend calendars to make sure you hear the show. But there's a lot of ways to to measure valuations. And again, we've talked a lot about this, but the one that I default back to is what we call the Buffett yardstick or the Buffett valuation metric. And that's the one that I think is the most pertinent these days. Not just because it's the one that says things are the most overvalued, but because we live in a time of record low interest rates. And this is dating, again, we've talked about this a lot before too. This is dating back 3,000 years, recorded history. We've never seen negative interest rates, right? That's a central bank creation, a central bank financial Frankenstein, if you will. We've never seen 0% interest rates. We've seen really low interest rates in the 50s before, but that was economically driven. It wasn't central bank activity that was driving rates lower. It was just natural supply and demand. And interest rates, believe it or not, play a big role in valuations. They play a big role in discounted cash flow models, which help us look at, you know, how we should value a stock based on the amount of profit it's kicking out. They play a big role just on attractiveness, right? Would I rather have a stock that's paying 2.5% or 3% yields, or would I rather own a sovereign bond at record high prices that's paying me less than the inflation rate, right? There's a common sense aspect to it. But we also have to pay attention to what, you know, the role that low interest rates play in the overall economy. And we'll get into that in this segment. I don't want to jump the gun here. And first of all, welcome back to the show. It's great to be back with you. I was out of town last weekend, so we ran a repeat. And so I'm a bit frenetic today. It's because I've got 2 weeks saved up. First, went on the first vacation in, probably like 4 years. So I came up with all kinds of things that I want to talk about and was able to do a lot more research. And we're always researching, but never as much as I'd like. And came up just with a lot of good show topics. So we'll do a rundown. We're going to do the market update, of course. We're going to get back into this interest rate discussion. We're also going to talk about, you know, a segment that I call going back to school. And what we want to do is we want to talk about, and we're getting into it already, valuations, what they mean, what they should mean, and an interesting, again, for those of you that don't know that haven't listened to the show before, we host a Twitter account. And we do that for research. It's a great place to get news. We also do it to engage with our clients. A lot of clients keep an eye on that because I post a lot of interesting economic facts every day. At least I find them interesting. My wife and kids don't usually agree. That's a different subject altogether. But just some great stuff. I'm fired up to do the show. But first, we gotta address this valuation thing because I don't want to sound sarcastic, but you are living in rare, you know, which is probably no news to most of you. We're living in rare times. These are odd times. They're record times, right? And I'm going to tease the next segment. I was telling you about the Twitter account. I got into a Twitter exchange with another money manager. And I was talking about the term financialization. And I don't know if any of you have heard that term before. It's kind of a wonky finance term that finance guys probably say to sound important, you know, to sound smart. But we want to get into financialization and what it means, because the argument that I was making to him, and I think that the facts bear it out, that what we're watching is an economy and a market and a stock market and a bond market and a real estate market that is more reflective of financialization and central bank activity than it has ever been, and certainly more reflective of central bank activity than it is actual economic activity. And I believe the facts bear that out. I think it's pretty obvious. And I think it's something to keep an eye on. Now, again, for those of you that have never heard the show before and you hear me get rolling here and you think, oh, this is a guy that's telling us the sky's falling, and that's not true at all. You know, we're not sitting in cash and gold and waiting for the sky to fall. That, to me, that's sort of like, you know, the old people reading chicken bones. You know, nobody knows when the market's going to go up. Nobody knows when the market's going to fall. We can look at the tea leaves. We can recognize when things get expensive or when things detach from reality. But as we've seen, valuations have been outside the norm for 2.5 years. Right? So that's not really an indicator. That's not a timing mechanism. We do not time the markets. But we do adapt to them. Right? There are things that we should be doing. There are changes we should be making to make sure that our portfolio is both accomplishing our long-term growth goals and also, Know Your Risk Radio, right? Managing our risk. Because the one thing that I need investors to keep in mind, and I've been pounding on this with clients and pounding on it in risk review calls, right? Had a lot of people calling in. Thank you very much for that, by the way. I always enjoy talking to you. The 15-minute risk reviews. And for those of you that don't know, you can call 866-779-RISK. And we just do a risk review of your portfolio versus how we do things. And like I said, typically we can, without really changing, and we've got our own ways of doing things, but we can typically lower a client's risk by about 30%. So they've got 30% less exposure to drawbacks. We can typically cut their fees by 40 to 50%, even if you're at a low-cost place. The way we do things is different. We're not the cheapest, certainly not, but we're definitely more affordable than most. But anyway, we'll walk you through our process. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and you can talk to me. Maybe you don't want to talk to me. Maybe you want to talk to somebody else. But anyway, I just think it's all about arming people with information and educating, like we say on the phone or we say on the show all the time. And, you know, I think that's something that we have to keep pushing that educational side of it, because like I was explaining to a client yesterday, we do not know when prices are going to fall. We do not know when they're going to go up. Timing is impossible. But what we can do, what we do know for a fact, like Warren Buffett has said, like J.P. Morgan has said, for those of you who don't know, James Pierpont Morgan, founder of J.P. Morgan Bank, like Julian Robertson, founder of Tiger Management, like all the great guys, Paul Tudor Jones, you know, go on down the list, Ray Dalio, Carl Icahn, the money is made contrary to the way we think about it. We see markets hitting all-time highs every day. That's great. Enjoy it. You know, don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel stupid about it. Don't feel naive. It's great. If you've been holding stocks and you've stayed disciplined, you're getting the payoff right now. Right now is a perfect example of why we do not try to time markets. Because like I said, 2.5 years ago, they looked expensive. And I'm not going to lie to you. I've had an itchy trigger finger for 2.5 years. But discipline and adhering to the approach is what has kept us holding track, right? It's kept us online. And now we're reaping the rewards. Does that mean we're Pollyannas and we think everything's great? No, and we're going to get into that, right? But it is about a disciplined approach. It's about having an approach that matches your long-term goals, having an approach that matches your risk profile, meaning we don't have more at risk than we can afford to lose. And it means staying disciplined to it in thick or thin. But the other thing we want to look at, though, is we know all the money and all the opportunity is in down markets. Warren Buffett refers to it as when gold is falling from the skies, referring to big market drops. James Pierpont Morgan referred to it when he said, we buy when there's blood in the streets. Okay, so we've always got to keep that in the back of our mind, especially when we're at record highs and record valuations. So we're supposed to start with a market update. We'll get into that later or this next segment. But like I said, I was going to come out firing because I had 2 weeks worth of thoughts and notes to throw at you. And we're going to continue this conversation about financialization. Okay. And we're always going to talk about something that we refer to as always an eye on growth, right? We're always looking out for growth. We're not just, you know, blindly sitting there saying, oh, things are bad. We're out of the market. There's always opportunity. Jim Cramer says it. I'm not a huge fan of Jim Cramer. Well, I mean, I am personally. I think he's a good guy. I think he's done a lot of good things. We have different investing philosophies, but he says there's a bull market somewhere, and he's absolutely right. Investing is not a binary practice, right? It's not good or bad. It's always trying to seek out the truth and seek out the opportunity where it lies. So anyway, that's about it for the opening segment. So stick with us. And as always, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can hear all of our other podcasts. We've pretty much covered everything. So if you have any questions or you want to hear what our thoughts are on certain segments, I guarantee you we've got a segment on it. We got 880, Darren, what is it, like 190 segments so far, something like that. Some great interviews on there. So knowyourriskradio.com. You can go to our podcast page. You can get us on iTunes. And you can also give us a call, 866-779-RISK, set up an in-person consultation, or just do the 15-minute risk review, which I enjoy. I'd say, honestly, 60% of the people that do the risk review, we never actually meet. So there's no obligation. We're not going to twist your arm. Just a way for us to further the education and reach out more to the people that are listening to us and make a personal connection and hopefully educate you, give you some other ideas. We do things differently. So anyway, stick with us through the break. We got to run. And like I said, we got some great segments coming up. I'm fired up about it. Like I said, been sitting on this stuff for a couple weeks now and got a great show. And I think we have a guest in the studio with us today coming up later. So anyway, great show planned for you. Stick around. Thanks for sticking with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And thank you for sticking with us. So I want to cut right to the chase. Let's get into that last conversation that we started. I was a little bit too fired up. So we're going to do the market update. But I want to get into that talk about financialization and what we mean. So when I talk about real economics not driving this market, that's probably not the best way to say it, right? Because real economics are driving the market. We've got more buyers and sellers, theoretically, which is sort of a misnomer anyway, because, and it, just a side note, when you hear people talk about, oh, there's more buyers and sellers, or there's a lot of cash on the sidelines, I want you to keep something in mind. Anecdotally, what that means is that you've got people putting new capital to work that they you know, haven't previously had invested. But remember that there is no money in the stock market, and there's technically no money on the sidelines. A market is a meeting place where a buy and a sell happens. No money sits in a market, right? There's more buyers than sellers. That's impossible, right? Because every time we buy a stock, someone simultaneously has to be selling it. Okay, so anyway, just a pet peeve of mine when people, well, a lot of cash on the sidelines, a lot of stuff coming in. It's nonsense. When you see markets going up, what that means is that people are willing to pay a higher price than the person who wants to sell it. So somebody's willing to sell a stock at $12.50. The guy who wants that stock is actually willing to pay more than $12.50, $12.60. And so what that does is that ratchets up the bid. That, what we call it, ratchets up the ask or the bid, right? So the people that want the stock are willing to pay a higher price than the current market price. That's what drives prices higher. Not that there's more buyers and sellers. It's impossible. That's not the way markets work. Conversely, on the bottom side, the people that are buying, or excuse me, when markets are falling, conversely, the people that are buying the stock are not willing to pay the market price. And so they bid for the stock underneath the market price. So it really is a sentiment shift. That's all it is. And the people that are trying to sell the stock are willing to sell it regardless of price, right? So they want to get it sold. And so that's what gets the, you know, you get the ball rolling down the hill, but it really rolls down the hill in both directions. So anyway, that's a side note. Like I said, I've got too many thoughts saved up. So back to financialization. What do we mean by that? Well, we talk about this probably every week, but we're looking now at a stock market that on many metrics is the most expensive, or, you know, the only two periods that correspond with where we currently are in terms of valuations on the stock market are 1999 and 1929. They're the only comparable levels on all metrics, you know, whether we're looking at PE or we're looking at forward PEs or we're looking at, you know, price to sales, or we're looking at the Buffett yardstick, you know, each one of those three periods, 29, 99, and today, they all have, you know, 99 has the highest forward PE, 29, I believe, had the highest current PE overall, or the highest average PE. Today, we're the highest Buffett yardstick, or the highest Buffett valuation metric reading. So there's a lot of different ways to look at valuation, but there's no question we're above the, you know, we're among the three most all time. And my favorite metric is, because it's Warren Buffett's favorite metric, is really how I came to view that, is the Buffett yardstick. And that is at record highs. It's never been higher. And yet we have an economy that's growing at one half of our long-term average. Record debts, record consumer debts, record corporate debts. So how does that work? Right? We know, we can get an argument about valuations or whether market's going up, market's going down, that's fine. Okay, but we know the real economy is not actually driving it. We've seen historically low wage growth over the last 10 years. We see right now financial assets, when we compare them to disposable income, are at record highs and never been higher. So we know the real economy isn't what's driving it. So what's driving it? Well, it's something that we refer to as financialization. And what that means is that when you look at corporations buying back their own stock, and then when you look at corporations buying back their own stock via debt issuances, meaning that the money that they use to buy back their own stock is paid for through the acquisition of debt. When you see people flipping homes, when you see people using margin, right, credit in their stock accounts. Now, these can all be hallmarks of economic activity, but we've already established, you know, the economic activity isn't there, right? We talked about the stock market. We talked about the economy. But even in real estate, you know, the home ownership rate is 13% lower than it was in the peak in 2006. So what do we know? Well, we know it's not supply and demand that's driving housing prices. So what is it? It's financialization. And what we refer to that is that right now with interest rates at record lows for a long time now, debt being cheaper than it's ever been in history, that corporations and individuals are making more money off of financial transactions and buying assets than they are engaging in traditional economic activity. Now, we're getting a little bit in the weeds here, but what is traditional economic activity? And I'm skipping ahead, but like I said, I'm too excited. I'm too amped up with the time off. So we're going to go right into it, and we'll get into the market update in the next segment. I keep pushing it off, but I just think this is fascinating, and I think people are missing it. And I hope it's fascinating to you. I try to make it exciting because I want people, first and foremost, not to just sit there and nod their head and go, yeah, those guys sound smart. We're just going to put our money with them. I don't want our clients to do that. I want our clients to know what we're doing, but more importantly, I want them to know why we're doing it. I want them to know why we are invested and we're sticking to our long-term plans, but I want them to understand why I'm not excited and I'm not buying hand over fist. And I want it to be more than just an anecdotal, stocks are too high. And I want you to know that as well. Okay, so financialization. What's going on there? Like I said, it's when we are making more money off of owning assets and making financial transactions than we are actually engaging in real economic activity. Real economic activity is actually pretty simple. The reason economies grow and the reason profit is made is due to productivity growth. Okay, a perfect example of that would be the invention of the automobile. Right? Why was the automobile so successful? Why did it make Henry Ford a billionaire and, you know, launch this probably close to a $1 trillion industry, maybe a lot more than that. Yeah, got to be. Why did that happen? Well, because of the productivity gains. Think about it. You got to put gas in a car, but you didn't have to feed it. You didn't have to worry about slowing it down and going to a trot as opposed to with a horse. So you didn't, you know, kill your horse. It opened up commerce. You were able to haul more freight and do it more efficiently. There were huge productivity gains and cost savings, and we didn't have to make barns anymore, and we didn't have to buy hay, and we didn't have to, right? There were all these time savers and cost savers that came. That's called productivity growth. And so it saved us time, and we all know the old adage, time is money. And so by buying one of these things, an automobile at the time, a business could increase their productivity. They could increase their range. They could sell to other counties and cities that they hadn't had access to before due to the restrictions that were on the whole horse and buggy thing. Right? Cell phones, another perfect example. Think of how much time cell phones saved. Productivity growth. Right? That's an economic driver. A good example of that today is Facebook. Right? I'll tell you firsthand, Facebook marketing is actually really, I mean, it's not the end all be all, but it's really cost efficient and it's pretty effective. And it's really opened up marketing to people that don't have money to, you know, buy billboards and buy radio ads and things like that. But what do we see? Productivity growth, right? Productivity growth goes right into the whole debt thing, and it goes right into the whole, you know, slow growth aspect of it. We've got productivity growth at record lows in this country and decelerating. Right? So that's real economic growth. Look, we all know that's not taking place. And so I got in this exchange with Twitter the other day with another money manager, and he's sitting there going, I don't even know what financialization means, and you know, just kind of poo-pooing the whole thing and trying to shut it down and trying to tell me, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about, which is fine. I get told that all the time. I think that you got to be open to learning, and you got to be open to the idea that you can be wrong. Lord knows I have been. Will be again. But what I was saying is, I was telling him, open your eyes. It's not there in the productivity growth. It's not there in the GDP growth. It's not there in the lower debt levels. It's not there in healthy market activity, which means that markets aren't being driven by stock buybacks and by record margin, which we have. It means that actual strides are being made. Wages are going up. Disposable income's going up. None of that's happening. So that's something we got to keep an eye on, especially when you see central banks around the world, like the Federal Reserve, starting to raise interest rates. Now, my hunch is they're going to raise interest rates at precisely the wrong time, like they did in 2006, like they did in 1999, like they did in 87, like they did in 29. You know, we've seen this movie before. And we've talked about this on the show before. Central banks are the worst forecasters of all time. You know, if you literally do the opposite of what central banks say consistently, you'd have pretty good investment returns. So I think it's important to understand that. Now, saying that doesn't mean the market's going to crash tomorrow. It doesn't mean this is going to stop. But it's important for us to understand and make a separation between, okay, we got record asset prices, our 401k is going up, our IRA is going up, but why? It's going up wholly, almost entirely, due to financialization. Cheaper debt, more liquidity, record low interest rates, meaning to make money, you got to buy stocks, you got to buy houses, you got to buy financial assets. And so I think that's a key thing for everybody to keep their mind on. And why that's a key thing is that can end like that, right? That doesn't grind to a halt. One bad step by a central banker and that balloon pops. So anyway, we got to get rolling, going through the segments faster than ever. But anyway, as always, give us a call, 866-779, set up a free risk review. And here our approach. You know, we're not sky is falling people, but we're just, it's all about disciplined investing. It really is. And disciplined investing does not mean bonds are at record lows, so we're going to move more money into stocks. Not at record highs, guys. If your advisor tells you that, maybe he's a great guy. Maybe you don't want to talk to us. Maybe you don't want to move your money to anybody else, including us. That's fine. But don't buy that. At least you can glean this from our radio show. Stay disciplined. Keep dry powder on the sidelines. You will get an opportunity to buy at lower prices. It happens. Markets don't go straight up. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the website, the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com. Listen to our other podcasts, some other information up there. We're working on getting more pieces of information up there. We've been so busy, we haven't had a time to really build that out as robustly as it could be, but we're working on that. So stick with us. But anyway, we got some great stuff coming up. Got a surprise guest that's going to join us here. Going to do an interview, but we got to take a quick break, so stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back. And let's get right into it. As always, thank you for joining us, and thanks for sharing a piece of your weekend with us. And I hope you guys are beating the heat somehow. Maybe you're sitting in an air-conditioned car listening to us. Hopefully somewhere air-conditioned. But let's continue on where we left off last segment. And just to continue, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I think this financialization concept is really important to understand. And I think it's important to understand because we like to focus on things. The last thing we want to do when we're managing money, whether it's me as a professional or whether it's you as a managing your own money, we always want to keep our eye on the ball. And what is the ball? It's reality, right? As investors, we cannot get carried away both to the negative side and the downside. We've always got to try to push those emotions back and look at the reality that's staring us in the face. And so when we're talking about these negative aspects, don't do what I, This reminds me, too, of something. I hate the whole bear bull argument, right? Oh, these stupid bears or oh, these stupid bulls. But I don't think that I'm ever a bear or a bull. I think that I'm a realist. And a bear or a bull means that you think the market's going to go up or down. And what I've tried to tell clients all the time, I don't know what the market's going to do. And if you say you do, you know, you're either lying or you're just really naive or you're dangerous or you're all three. Right? Because nobody does. It's impossible. There's too many factors at play. Now, we might say things like Jack Bogle said, the founder of Vanguard Funds, which is based on the rate of gains that the market has made over the last 8.5 years, he sees the rate of gains being substantially lower over the next 10. Okay, now that is something that we can, with a pretty high level of certainty, going back using historical data, sit there and say, okay, we've done this. We know that, you know, averages are, like I always tell people, math is a real pain. You know, mathematic laws and averages very rarely get violated. And everything returns to the mean, right? The average is the average for a reason. You know, which makes me think of, for the Mariner fans out there, Mike Zunino. I'm hoping he's found a new average, but I'm always worried about things reverting back to the mean. Anyway, that's a sports, I'm leaving the train of thought here. That's a little anecdotal sports information. But why that's so important is because keeping our eyes on the fundamentals help us adhere to our disciplines, right? It helps us adhere to the approach that we're taking. Because what we know is that what we recognize as reality right now, today, it can spin on a dime. And in retrospect, it always looks so clear, but it never is at the time. We've all experienced that. That's why when I hear people too boastfully saying, this is what's going to happen, and I can tell by looking at it, I just tune them out immediately because they don't. Either they're too young, they haven't had their head slammed in the door before, or they're just dangerous. You know, they don't have good judgment. Right? Markets are dynamic. Economies are dynamic. They can change on a dime. So we've got to keep our eyes on the fundamentals. And when the fundamental story changes, we don't change our approach. We don't leave our discipline method, but we pivot. We adjust. Maybe it's adjusting the allocations. Maybe it's slightly adjusting the percentage of stocks to bonds. Maybe it's slightly adjusting, you know, bonds are our safe money. Maybe, like we talk about all the time, maybe it's finding a better safe money, which there are tons of them out there. If you're hedging your portfolio with bonds, call us. That to me, now bonds are a little bit outside of this conversation because we talk about all the time, bonds are completely tied to interest rates and they are not a hedge for stocks. Look at the last 10 years. Okay, they weren't in the last downturn. I don't suspect they will be in the future. And you can make a really good argument, a really big argument, and a really credible argument that bonds are in a bigger bubble and price bubble than stocks are. You know, we look at that by just saying, look at the fiscal balance sheets or the balance sheets of governments. Look at the balance sheets of corporations. They've got record debt. They've got record debt to equity. They got record debt, period. Yet their bonds are trading at record highs. They are paying record low interest rates. It'd be like sort of walking into a car dealership with a 550 credit score and getting a 0% financing deal. That's sort of what's going on in the world right now. Was it just Venezuela, I think? No, was it Venezuela? It was Venezuela, and then there was another African country that came out with like a $10 billion bond offering. It was Argentina. Argentina's defaulted, I want to say, 10 times in the last 100 years. Don't quote me on that. I should have written that down. But in Argentina just launched a bond offering for $10 or $8.5 billion for bonds that were paying 6.5%, 6.5% to 7%. And it was oversubscribed by $1.5 billion, meaning that there was $1.5 billion more dollars that wanted the bonds than bonds were available. Because people are looking for yield because rates are low. This is a country that has defaulted on their loans 10 times in the last 100 years. Okay, so we've got to keep our eye on the ball. We've got to keep our eye on reality. And talking about what's driving markets is important. We need to know the reality. It helps guide what funds we're in, what stocks we're in, what markets we're exposed to. Because it really boils back down to the three rules of investing my grandfather always used to talk about. And he stole it from somebody else. Many people have said this. But the first three rules of investing are don't lose money, and I forgot the other two rules. Right? Because the one thing we all know we can't do is we can't lose a ton of money. We can't take 60, 70, 80% hits. And if you don't think that's possible, go back and look at your 401k statements or your IRA statements circa 1999. I cannot tell you how many people I know lost 70, 75%. They were all tech heavy, right? It was running high. And I see the exact same thing going on today. Most people I sit down to, portfolio is Tesla, Nvidia, Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, Netflix, Google. It's tech, 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 tech. And if you've done that, pat yourself on the back because you've done really well. But I promise you this. I promise you this. That won't continue. And you're much closer to the end of that whole tech run than you are the beginning. Why do I say that? How do I say that with certainty? I'm not predicting a crash. I'm just saying if you look at the revenue those companies are producing and you look at the growth rate of that revenue, it's slowing down. It's no secret. And not every company is going to become a $500 billion or a $1 trillion company, guys. We're pressing up against the upper bounds of reality. Does that mean we bail out, we short the market at the next big short? No, no. But we got to keep our eyes on the prize, and we got to keep our eyes on the facts because that dictates what we do. And it dictates the risks we take and the risks we don't. And, you know, while value, we've talked a lot about this, while value, whether it's driven by real economic growth or by financialization, while value is not a good market timer, meaning, you know, prices get high, it doesn't mean the market's going to crash, it does tell us that we've got diminished returns in the future. So we need to look to places that aren't as highly valued. We need to be a value investor like Warren Buffett. And I've talked about this on the show before, but I keep seeing these articles coming about how Warren Buffett's way of investing doesn't work anymore and he's lost his touch. And let me just tell you, in my career, I've seen two of those articles before. It was 99 and 2007. Value investing never dies because investing is value investing. We are buying assets at prices that we believe are lower than current cash flows. That is investing. There is no other meaning. And people go, well, the approach I'm taking is working really well. Well, congratulations. The approach everybody's taken over the last 5 years has worked well. You could have a monkey throwing darts at a dartboard with different stocks put on the different segments. And guess what? He's made money. And statistics say he's probably made as much money as the average investor, if not more. You know, it's the old adage, don't confuse brains with a bull market. Everybody can make money when markets are record highs. But it's what you do from there. It's how you protect it. It's how you protect against losses. Can you make money when markets are going down? Can you lose less when markets are going down? That's really the game, because we've all established this. You guys know this. And like I said in the last segment, the money's made in the down markets, not the up markets, not record highs like this. Empires are built in down markets. And if you don't believe me, you know, take it up with Warren Buffett. It's just true. And the one scary thing I see all the time, like I said, I don't know where markets are going. Nobody does. But the one scary thing I see is literally every single week, I wish I tracked it because I could put up a chart. But every tick the market goes higher, I am watching investors take more and more risks. I am seeing more and more investors moving more money out of bonds and into stocks. I'm watching more and more investors pile into the same old companies. I'm watching more and more investors buying leveraged ETFs. I'm watching more and more investors depart from the traditional approach or the plan that they should be on. I'm watching Charles Schwab come out and say that they've had the biggest quarter for new accounts being opened, new brokerage accounts, since the beginning of 2000, at the height of the tech bubble. Does this mean we run and hide and we freak out? No. But we have a lot of anecdotal evidence that suggests, hey, don't make rash decisions. Don't try to time the market. But this is a great time to review what we're doing. making sure that we're staying on course, that we're staying with our plan, and we're not letting emotions get the best of us. We're not pushing out further on the risk curve. And I am not a bear, guys. I had these same conversations with clients in 2009. Kicking and screaming, dragging them to buy stocks. And the simple logic was behind it was this. Look, you got two choices. These are record low stock prices. These things are trading for pennies on the dollar. We've got two things that are going to happen here. Either the world's going to end, which means your money won't mean anything anyway, or you're going to be buying these stocks extremely cheap, and the next few years are going to be really fun. And why did we make the choice that we did about the next few years being really fun? Again, hate to always go back to my grandfather, but he said, Zachary, if you're betting on the end of the world, you better be right because it only happens once. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to push some non-emotional logic into this conversation. We're not bears. We're not bulls. We're realists. And we believe in discipline. We believe in structuring a portfolio to accomplish your goals while exposing you to as few fees and as little risk as possible. And we believe on sticking to that plan through thick and thin. And it's no secret, guys. Well, I mean, that's a secret to everything, right? I see it in my business. You probably see it in your personal life, your fitness life, your marriage. Discipline and consistency. It's the key to everything. It's no different with investing. So put a check on your emotions. Let's talk about the facts. Stick with us. We got several more segments coming up. Like I said, we got an in-studio guest with us that I know you guys will, we've had him on before, but I know you guys will get a kick out of it. And he's a, let's put it this way, he's a much bigger or more notorious name than I am, for sure. And we're going to have a good chat. And we've also got to talk about the market update and new things that are going on. So anyway, stick with us. Thanks for joining us. As always, go to knowyourriskradio.com or give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. And without further ado, back from his...
Yeah. Hey, I'm ready to roll. Let's go.
You know, from working with you now, you have a complicated relationship with your listeners. I've heard I meet these people and everybody that I meet with, oh yeah, Dory, but there's a small segment of these people that it's so funny to me. They don't see things the way you do. They don't agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they act annoyed, but I ask, do you ever miss a show? And they go, oh, no, I listen to it every day.
Yeah, yeah, no, you can't not listen.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. You got people that like you and people that don't. But they still listen. They don't miss the show.
No, I like being their addiction. I'm the monkey on their back.
You're the skeleton of their closet.
Yes, it's
their guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, we want to, so getting back into the whole financial thing, we are now, and I started this show talking, we're living in rarefied air here.
Mm-hmm.
We are now officially, this happened a week and a half ago, the most expensive stock market in history.
Right.
Based on the Warren Buffett yardstick, which you and I have talked a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, the whole gist of this, and you and I have spoken a lot about this off the air and on the air, and the whole thing that I'm trying to tell people is, look, we don't time markets. We don't know what's going to happen, right? Nobody does,
mm-hmm.
which you would agree with, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if you, maybe you do.
I I can't believe that the market, continued to go up and up and up. I thought I was out of gas, but you know, I also see the underlying fundamentals that, you know, record profits for American businesses right now, and you know, foreign cash is pouring in to America, and then you got companies like Apple. They're sitting on $256 billion dollars in cash.
Yeah,
they got $250 billion in cash.
You've been doing your homework.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I stay on top of these things.
I know you do. Yeah. No. There. And what I was trying to explain to listeners though is that, you know, we don't, like I said, we're not trying to be binary. We're not trying to say we believe market's going up, market's going down, whatever. But when you see things like this where everything's great,
mm-hmm.
it's a party, record high valuations, all this kind of stuff, to me, it's a great opportunity to revisit the disciplined approach, right? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? This is not a time to be putting more capital to work or let, right? It's what is your plan?
Have a plan
right.
and stick with it.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah, like my daughters, who my wife and I have really tried to impress upon them the importance of investing in early age, and just staying with a plan.
Right.
And they've enjoyed some really good times here since they started investing.
I'd say
so. You know, the last 2-3 years. It'll be interesting when you've never had a bump. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. And if they, you know, because that's been the big thing. That's what I like, you know, how you deal with your clients. If there's a hiccup that is inevitably going to come, because these things always go in cycles, are they going to be able to, after just seeing a mark that goes up, 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 are they going to be able to stay with the plan, or are they going to panic and do what the undisciplined do, and that is, mark goes down, I'm going to sell everything, then you sell at the bottom, and you know, right now people are exuberant and they might be buying at the top. You just have to have a plan, you stay with it, and yeah, I love your approach. That's why I like everything you do.
Well, I should just let you host the show, because that's what I'm preaching all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things too, we were talking about this earlier, but adhering to the discipline takes a lot of the emotion out of it. And what I mean by that is, if you don't get over exuberant, and you know, I we've talked about this. I'm seeing it every single day, where 75, 80-year-old people who have gone from 60% stocks to now all the way up to 85-90%,
because
bonds aren't paying. They're completely violating their long-term plans, right? And one of the reasons we do that we advocate that disciplined approach, is when you overreact on the upside, you're going to overreact on the downside.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and emotion is, you know, not just in investing, but in life. If you let your decision-making and all the thoughtfulness that you put, and the discipline that you put into every aspect of your life, if you let that get overwhelmed by emotion, then you're not making the best decisions all of a sudden. And that's where, that's where so many people, and I get it, I understand, that's human nature, but that's why it's nice to have somebody along for your ride who can help you just maintain that disciplined, sensible, and thoughtful approach.
Yeah, well, and I got to tell you, it's especially in the last couple months, it's become harder and harder and less popular, because the first thing, just in the last couple months, I've seen a sentiment shift where one of the first things people want to talk about is, hey, what's your hot stock pick?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I went, whoa, hold on, for what?
Yeah,
we don't even have a plan in place. Do I know if it, you know what I mean? It's they're trying to jump past.
Yep.
They're getting caught up in the exuberance of it all.
Sure.
And to be fair to them, that's really been missing in the market through, you know, we've had a spectacular rally for the last 8.5-9 years. But that investor exuberance, that overconfidence really has not been a part of it. But boy, has it showed up in spades in the last 2-3 months.
Yeah. Well, I'm even prone to that, because,
sure,
you know, I've feared that the market's overvalued. I put a little bit of my meager portfolio in cash a year or so ago. And you know, I've been thinking, what should I be doing with that?
Yeah.
Am I missing that? But I know I'm not going to let myself be ruled by emotion. And I'm not going to, just because things have been really good on the upside, I'm not going to start, you know, throwing a bunch in right now when my whole reason for being fearful that the market was overvalued, it's even more overvalued today than it was a year ago.
So
we're all prone to that. Even if you try to be disciplined, and that's where you got to catch yourself. You got to make sure that you just have a plan.
Yep. And Dory, you've been good at that. I mean, you were executing your own discipline strategy when you and I met.
Yeah.
I mean, you were being pretty.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot. But I also have loved the ideas, and you know, you just have brought, even to somebody like me who, you know, really enjoys this world that you dwell in, and the challenge of it. Then I like the math side of it.
Yep.
But you know, even for somebody like me who spends a fair amount of time learning about it, you brought in all these ideas and things that I didn't even know about. That,
well,
you know, has been really good for me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, you know, when I do my spots for you during my show, I talk about this because, you know, I have 60 seconds to tell a story about you, but you put together this 12-page complimentary booklet that kind of distills all of your ideas. And, you know, I'd encourage all the listeners on this show, if they haven't done so already, to just get that, and they can see and hear about your plan.
Yeah, well, and I think it's important to point out with the booklet, too. The booklet doesn't cover our entire philosophy.
No.
But it shows one way in which we're trying to think outside the box and, you know, lower the exposure to risk for clients, lower the expenses,
yep,
but still keep them on their plan.
And how do people get this booklet, Zach?
Well, they can call 866-779-RISK, and we will get it to them, and complimentary, no obligations. And like I said, if nothing else, just arm yourself with the information. You talk about it all the time. Educate yourself.
There you go.
Know what's going on.
866-779-RISK.
You got it.
Okay.
All right.
Good stuff, Zach. Thank you, sir.
And thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show, and thanks for sticking with us. And for those of you just joining us, we did the last segment with Dory Monson, calling the voice of Seattle, which he always he shies away from. But I had to correct Dory in the break there. He mentioned that U.S. profits are at all-time highs. That is not true. Profit margins peaked out in 2015. We're still substantially below those levels. And in addition to that, we're actually at the same profit level. So if we look at the earnings of the S&P 500, the profits, we're at the exact same level we were in 2012. But the stock market has more than doubled since then. Again, does not pretend to crash, right? We're not in that business. I'm not a tea leaf reader. I've tried it and it didn't work too well. I don't know anybody that has worked well for, but there's a lot of people that think they are. Despite failures consistently, it amazes me. But again, this goes back to the financialization talk we were having earlier in the show, which is, look, there are reasons why the market's high. And I'm not saying there's not. There's validity into stock prices being higher when interest rates are at record lows, when bonds are paying record low amounts of interest. When, as I was sitting with a client this week, when we were going over their assets and their savings account and their high yield savings account was earning them 0.07%. I get it. I can see why you want to deploy money into stocks, money into real estate. I get it. But that further goes to illustrate the point that we were talking about earlier, is that money is flowing into financial assets specifically, well, not specifically, I guess, all financial assets, bonds, stocks, real estate, all at record highs, or close to it. Bonds are a little off, but close to it. Because people are being forced into it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, is it's not, this is not this dynamic economic activity that's driving this. It's not record profits. It's not record wages. It's not wage growth. It's not deleveraging. It's not debt repayment. It's not healthier balance sheets. It's the whole TINA. Have you heard of that acronym, TINA? Buy stocks because TINA, there is no alternative. Until there is. And again, not trying to guess it, not trying to predict it. Okay? I have people all the time, they call, not everybody, but I'd say 30 some percent of people, and go, well, you're trying to time markets. And I go, no, I'm not. What I'm doing is pointing out the fact that the reality is not adding up. It's not matching the asset prices. The results we're getting are not matching the inputs. And that should be the impetus that we use as investors, and that I certainly use as an advisor, to adhere to the plan, not to get overly exuberant, to even dial back the risk. Because that's one of the other things that we talk about all the time, is that, look, we've got several tools we use that are actually increasing client returns while keeping them more safe. It's not voodoo. Dory talks about it on his show all the time. And Dory's never endorsed another financial firm because, you know, I think most of you know that. That's why he's the only endorsement guy that we've ever worked with, just because, you know, we value and trust his endorsement and his opinion. And, you know, he did his homework on us for about 5 months before he agreed to do it. So these are real things. It's not how do we run for the hills? How do we buy gold and silver and you know, stash it under our mattress? It's not that. It's how do we maximize gains, minimize cost, and minimize risk? And right now is the perfect opportunity to do it. If you want to make more money and greed's getting the better part of you, then think a little longer term. You're at the end of one of the longest bull markets in history. Not end, not saying it's ending. You had one of the greatest runs in history. And if you've stayed invested and stuck to your plan, congratulations. This is why we do it. This is why we stay disciplined. If you don't have a plan and you're just riding the wave, now's a good time to get one. If you don't know what your portfolio is geared to other than you seeing the highest returns possible, now is a fate is literally delivering you a perfect opportunity to reorganize, put a plan into place, and make sure you adhere to it. Because guys, I will tell you, the rains are going to come. They just always do. So prepare for it. Make hay when the sun's shining. And it's shining. It's as good as it's ever been. So take the opportunity. Take the opportunity to make sure that you know what your assets are doing, why they're doing it, how you're positioned, what is the approach? What's the purpose? Don't get suckered into the emotions. Stick to your plan. That's why we make them. So anyway, we got to get running. Another great show. Great to be back with you guys today. And I, as always, I really appreciate you spending the time with us. I know you don't have to. I know we're not Rush. I know we're not Medved. But really appreciate the time. So come back next week. And as always, you can schedule your risk review, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com and listen to our podcasts. But until next week, this is Zach Abraham, and this is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.